Good morning, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, and I'm your host for this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And at the current time, we are looking at Jesus' last days with his disciples before the cross. And today we're going to look at Jesus' declaration of the betrayer, and that, of course, being Judas. Now, this is found in all four of the Gospel accounts. Matthew records this in chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. Mark, in chapter 14, verses 18 through 21. Luke, in chapter 22, verses 21 through 23. And John, in chapter 13, verses 21 through 35. Now, for our purposes today, we're going to primarily center in on John's account of these events in John chapter 13, verses 21 through 35. So let's go there now to our text. John 13, beginning in verse 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This passage under our consideration today marks the end of Christ's public ministry and the beginning of his preparation of the disciples for life without him. He announced his betrayal because he doesn't want them to think at a later date that he was caught off guard by Judas. Jesus was in complete control of all of the events. This is something he reaffirmed again later after Peter took a swipe at the high priest's servant when he said, "Put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" So now let's look as the betrayer is identified. In our text now, let's go back to verse 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus knew who would betray him. Jesus fully knew each of the disciples, and he knew full well that Jesus was the one who would betray him. The Lord will never be surprised when a man or woman falls away from the faith. It is always a process, and there are telltale signs before it happens. Jesus knows the heart of men, and the heart reveals all. However, the other disciples did not know that Judas was the betrayer. Look back again to verse 22. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Matthew's account reveals they were individually asking Jesus if they were the one who would betray him. During these moments of anxiety, Peter turned to John. They were lying close to one another, and Peter wanted a confidential word. So John leaned towards Peter, who asked, "Who is it?" Peter thought that Jesus may have confided in John. However, Jesus hadn't. So John now leaned backward toward Jesus, and with upturned head, he simply asked, "Lord, who is it?" In verse 26, Jesus replied. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Jesus could have replied to John's question by saying, "Judas is the man." But he didn't. Instead, he said, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." It's quite possible that Jesus did not want the betrayer openly identified at that precise moment. If he had been, then Peter and the others might well have taken matters into their own hands. So at the proper time, Jesus dips the bread and hands it to Judas. Notice verse 27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." So Jesus looked at Judas and said, "What you're about to do, do it quickly," in verse 27. He's telling Judas, in effect, you'd better go at once, while you can, and before you were stopped, in essence. Jesus was still in control of the situation. The disciples misunderstood what took place with Judas, leaving because when Judas left, they thought he had gone to buy more food for the feast or give money to the poor. Notice verse 28. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to them. For some thought, because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. It is not invariably those that dislike us who betray us. Many a husband has proved unfaithful and betrayed a wife for whom he has affection. In church life, we may be like those who conspire against us. They may like us even. Verse 30 says, "Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night." And so, Judas departs from the midst and goes out into the night to seek the right opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus. Both Judas and Satan wanted to put Jesus to the test. They looked to force his hand, to box him into a corner where he went on to the attack and would defeat his enemies. Judas likely would have been happy if Jesus had used the 12 legions of angels at his disposal to engage and defeat the forces of Rome, according to Matthew 26 and verse 53. Judas's allegiance to Jesus was motivated by his nationalism and his desire for personal political power and influence and wealth. Satan wanted to wreck the great work of redemption. The evil one knew that the cross would be the supreme test for Jesus. Would Jesus choose to save himself or save us? Once Jesus was upon the cross, Satan did everything in his power to get him to leave it and abandon a fallen humanity. The very fact that Jesus knew how Judas felt, and the fact that Jesus anticipated his betrayal, did not stop Jesus from being very distressed at the decision of his disciple. Notice in verse 21 that Jesus was troubled in spirit. It was like a kick from a horse. He said, "He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me," in verse 18. Judas knew Jesus well. Judas had witnessed one demonstration after another of divine power. And Judas had witnessed how much the Master cared for his people. Yet, he ends up being the willing tool of Satan. Satan used Judas in an attempt to wreck God's plan to save mankind. But, my friends, the church for some 2,000 years has always been threatened, especially by those who put a cause before Christ, those that love a man-made doctrine or a way of worship or the way of a denomination. These people may appear to be Christians, but if they put their cause first, they end up like Judas, betraying the one they claim to serve. This was true of the Judaizers, who came down from Jerusalem to Antioch to persuade the Jewish Christians to withdraw from communion with uncircumcised Gentile Christians. Paul would oppose them because he knew they were enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nationalism can become a dangerous thing. Indeed, there are many today in our land who are Americans first and Christians second, and it won't work. The church has always been threatened by those who put a cause before Christ, and it has also been threatened by those who put their own ambitions before Christ. If we want our way in the church before anything else, there are inevitably going to be splits and divisions. The divisions of the church has mainly been due to men thinking that they are right on some issue and expecting everyone else to agree with them. The great number of factions within the church are hardly in the will of Jesus, who urged his followers to be one as he and the Father were one. Finally, it is possible to resist even the prolonged personal appeals of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away at the last moment into the darkness. Judas was there with Jesus. He had seen Jesus at work. He witnessed the teaching of Jesus. He witnessed the signs and wonders of the Christ, but he was lost. Most of those brought up in the church who refuse Christ now would have rejected him then. Indeed, there are none so blind as those who will not see. And so, the betrayer has been identified, and the stage has been set. Now next week, if the Lord wills and we're together, we'll watch and see as Jesus foretells next of the fall of Peter. I hope you'll join me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Again, we will see you next week, if the Lord wills, at this same time. I'll look forward to that. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.